Hari. Gopi Janna Balava Giribara Dhari. Gopi Janna Balava Giribara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tira Panachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janna Balava Giribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajikacharya Charasata Shri Shrimana's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsikaho Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Shri Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Buddhale, Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani, Pracharne, Nirvisesha, Shunyavari Paschatadesna, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namaha, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushe Namaha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai. So today is appearance, what is it, disappearance or appearance? Gadadhar Pandit. So they asked me to speak about him, and then somebody put 10 verses up there. So if we chant all those verses, we won't have much time. Gadadhar is a very, very important personality in Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela. Most important person. Who is Gadadhar in Krishna Leela? Huh? Radharani, yeah, so that's very serious business. So his leelas are, you know, and his relationship with the Lord is quite amazing. He was childhood friend of Nitai, or Nimai, and then they became more close. Radharani was thinking that in Krishna Leela, as a woman, she had to sneak around to meet Krishna. But if she was in the Gaur Leela, if she came in a male body, then she could be with him all the time. So it's very interesting because Lord Chaitanya's Radha and Krishna combined. But then when he's with Gadadhar, it's not quite the same, but we can't understand these things. Around here we have a few Gaur Gadadhar temples. It's not, Prabhupada said we could worship Gaur Gadadhar. I know some Grihasthas who do. It's a very intimate worship compared to Gaur Nitai. But so in Bhakti Vinod's house, he was worshipping Gaur Gadadhar. There's a Gaur Gadadhar in the, at the, it's at the Yoga Pit or the Chaitanya Mat. And then there's the famous one in Champahata. I think that was the first deity of Lord Chaitanya. He was going around with Gadadhar. You know, you've all been to Champahata? Huh? You all been there? Anybody been there? Raise your hand. So you know, very beautiful deities, right? So that's another one of the stories, like the Shantipur one. Nimai and Gadadhar were going around, and Vaninath, the brother of Gadadhar, he lived there. And then they told him, Lord Chaitanya's going to take sannyas, and then he, of course, will leave Navadvipa. So that's like a horrible thought for everybody. So he was crying and crying that don't do it. So Lord Chaitanya made agreement that he would, you know, they'd make a murti, then he could worship the murtis. And that would be the same. So they called a carpenter, and he actually made that murti in the presence of Gadadhar and Gauranga. So it's very special. But then they started to leave, but Vaninath wasn't happy with that. He said, no, I want the real moving, living Gauranga. So that was one of those episodes where suddenly the deity walked out, and finally he understood and agreed. So before that there was no worship of a Gauranga Murtis. But after that there was. So that was a very special place where Champakalata, when Gopi used to come and pick champak flowers for Radha and Krishna. But now it's Murya, puffed rice market and coal market. There's not so many champak flowers anymore. But anyway, it's a very famous temple on our parikram. And so where it really started, the relationship, was when Nimai came back from getting initiated, and he had completely changed, and all he could do was cry for Krishna. He wasn't a logician or anything anymore. He was totally emotional and just crying, Krishna, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Satchimata was in a lot of anxiety. And her son's gone crazy or something. So Gadadhar talked to him and said, don't worry, he's in your heart. And he said, I'll get him out. And he started, you know, scratching his chest. And he calmed him down somehow. So Satchimata told him, like Radharani was... mother-in-law was always trying to keep her away from Krishna, right? But Satchimata ordered him, you have to stay with my son all the time. So he was very happy. So they, of course, he's one of the Panchatattva, so he must have participated in the Sankirtan, you know, Nagar Sankirtan and everything. And when Lord Chaitanya moved to Puri, then Gadadhar also moved to Puri. But before that, still in Navadvipa, when Pundarik Vijaniti was coming to Navadvipa, Lord Chaitanya was always calling out, Pundarik, Pundarik, and nobody knew what he's talking about, you know. He thought he was calling, you know, in the mood of Radharani and calling. So Mukunda, who was a friend of Pundarik from the same place, Bangladesh, which was not Bangladesh and it was East Bengal, and Gadadhar was a very pure Brahmin boy, very simple and highly educated. And Mukunda said, would you like to meet a great devotee, a really great devotee? He said, of course. So they went to Pundarik Vijayaniti. Pundarik Vijayaniti was something like Avaduta. He was a very, very rich zamindar, you know, a big landholder, like a king, small king. And he was living in huge opulence. He had beautiful clothes and jewels all over the place and incredible furniture, you know, all beautiful vases and all marble things and lamps and people fanning him, and he had beautiful hair all fixed very nicely and scented with all kinds of perfume. And Gadadhar in his mind was thinking, how could he be a great devotee, you know, living in so much opulence? Quite a good lesson for us if we think about it, but right? So Mukunda understood, you know, how Gadadhar was feeling. So he recited a sloka from the Bhagavatam. I think it was the one about, you know, how anyone can be so merciful that even Putana, you know, got the position of a mother. So he recited that sloka, and when Pundarik heard that, he went mad. And he started rolling on the floor and passing out and getting up and rolling and ripping up all his clothes and knocking all his fancy furnishings over. And for hours and hours on end, you know, getting up, dancing, crying, falling unconscious for a few hours. So Gadadhar realized, I made a big mistake, you know. And this is, he thought, offense, you know, to think even. That's a real devotee. Even you think something offensive, they feel guilty. We do something offensive and think, well, the other person deserved it, you know. But anyway, so he decided that the only way he could rectify that offense was to take initiation from Pundarik Vijayaniti. So they went to Lord Chaitanya, and he agreed that's a very good idea. So they arranged an auspicious time, and he became the disciple of Pundarik Vijayaniti to serve him, you know, like completely sold out for the rest of his life. So that was the mentality of Gadadhar in Navadvipa. And then he went to Puri with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya found that Tota Gopinath deity in the sand dune there, you know, that he always mistook for Govardhan Hill. It's just right across from the Tota Gopinath temple. And he gave Gadadhar that deity to worship, and Gadadhar took a vow called Chaitra Sannyas, that he would never leave, he would stay there. Generally a sannyasi travels all the time. And he took this vow to stay and worship the deity. And that's considered a very great vow, more than sannyas, traveling, very difficult. And so he did that. And during that time, Lord Chaitanya would visit him at the temple every day for 3 hours. And they would read Srimad Bhagavatam together. They read the whole Bhagavatam. But they, some parts they liked especially. Anybody know what they were? Huh? Dhruva Maharaj and who? Prahlad Maharaj. So that's a little mysterious. But because it's Radha and Krishna, but they like to read about Dhruva and Prahlad. And there's different explanations for that, but Lord Chaitanya, he especially admires devotees who have to really struggle to serve him and suffer. Like the Vaikuntha people, they just automatically, you know, they don't have suffering before anyway. So he especially liked to hear those, and might be a message for us that, you know, we can learn a lot from that. So Gadadhar was a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And We'll talk, go into that later, but he was, at one point, Lord Chaitanya was leaving Puri. So nobody was very happy about that, but and they made all kinds of tricks to stop him for a long time, especially Nityananda and Advaita, I think. They're always just, it's not a good time now, wait till the next festival. And finally he just said, I'm going now, you know. So Gadadhar said, I'm going with you. And Lord Chaitanya said, you can't go with me because I can't give you permission to go with me, because then you'd be leaving your service that you vowed to do for the rest of your life, and then I would be making offense to Gopinath. So Gadadhar said, okay, I'll just go. You don't have to give me permission, but I'll just go on my own. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't happy. He said, no, you can't do that. So when Lord Chaitanya left, Gadadhar followed. And he got to a certain place where there was a boat river crossing or something, and Lord Chaitanya got in the boat by himself and left. And Gadadhar just, you know, fell unconscious in tears and separation on the other, on that side of the river. I suppose that, you know, Gauranga told the boat driver, don't go back. But so Gadadhar was, you know, just in total misery of separation, which is actually, we've learned in our movement that that's the, you know, the highest bliss, actually, for devotees. It's not like mundane people. When they feel separation, they cry and cry, and sometimes they bereave for the rest of their life. You know, even animals do that, right? They're so attached to their master. There's a famous dog in Tokyo, and they even have a murti of him by the station. But you know, his master died. Every day he would wait to go to the station with his master and wait for him to come back. So his whole life after the master died, he went every day and waited. There's other stories like that. So, but the gopis, the goswamis, very advanced devotees, feeling separation becomes the highest pleasure, because then you think much more intensely about the object. We all experience that if we lose something. You know, then you can't think about anything else till you find it. So, but then Sarvabhauma, you know, preached to him that you should be very happy because Lord Chaitanya saved you, you know, for making the offense of giving up your service to Gopinath, who's the same. Because Gadadhar had told Lord Chaitanya, no, no, if I'm serving you, it's the same. You're the same. You're the same Gopinath, and there's no problem. I can just serve you, and then that's the same. It won't matter that I leave Gopinath. But Lord Chaitanya didn't accept that. And that's, you know, the way he treats his very dear devotees. He just walks away. Same as Krishna. Same as Ram, you know, exiling Sita. Still, intellectual, crazy people think that's some kind of cruelty. But then both of them felt the intense separation, including Lord Ram. It wasn't that he just, you know, he could have married any number of wives, but he never would. He just felt pain of separation from Sita. But this dharma that certainly we can't understand in this day and age, but, you know, it was a higher, the principle. Apparently that's a very external thing. The real thing was that they could both feel this intense separation. So anyway, Gadadhar had that. So Gadadhar was a great scholar of Bhagavatam, you know, besides discussing it with Lord Chaitanya all the time. So Jiva Goswami went there to study the Bhagavatam. And it was after Lord Chaitanya. He went to Navadvipa, but he was trying to find I guess Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and they were already gone. And Lord Chaitanya was gone, so he got the instructions to study Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhara Pandit. So he went to Puri, and Gadadhara's book, he couldn't read it, the Bhagavatam, because when he read the Bhagavatam, the tears were flowing so intensely that it was washed out. So somehow or other, they found another book. There weren't that many books around, you know, you had to do by hand. And not even like we can write with ink, and, you know, the scratching those leaves, it's a long process, you know. So found another book, and then Jiva was studying with Gadadhar. And it was Gadadhar, not only Gadadhar, but many, many devotees in Puri, they just, after Lord Chaitanya left, they just dried up. They didn't eat, they just cried all the time, and they grew old very fast. So Gadadhar was growing very old, and he was still taking care of Gopinath. Who's been to Tota Gopinath temple? What's the unique feature of that deity? Huh? Sitting down. He would be very tall if he was standing up, right? You know. So Gadadhara got old and crippled, even though his age wasn't that much, but they just grew old and separation from the Lord. And so he got to the point where he couldn't reach up to put the garlands or the crown and stuff. So the deity sat down. You believe that? If you believe it, then you're a devotee. That's it. The karmis would never believe that. But there's many, many stories of deities doing things like that, becoming so heavy they can't move them, or, you know, things like that. Even in Japan, there's one Buddha like that. They wanted to move him and nobody could lift him, and they brought him there, but they couldn't get him out. So Gadadhar, Lord Chaitanya left in that temple. He went in that temple. There's other stories, but this is a story that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta accepts. He went in the Tota Gopinath temple, and everybody was waiting. He never came out. And they found a little golden spot on the body somewhere of the deity. So Gadadhar lived for some time after that, but then he also left. And Jiva Goswami had gone away, and then he was going to come back to study more. And as he got close to Puri, he saw people crying and everything, and found out that Gadadhar had already left, so he thought his life was all over. But then, because, you know, he had this great Bhagavatam, not a dried up scholar, but a real lover of the Lord, there's nobody could love the Lord like Gadadhar. So, very important personality. You know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Gadita, Gadadhar. You know, very special person. A very good day to study the Bhagavatam and pray for his mercy. Because there's no limit to the Bhagavatam. You know, people may think, well, I read it already, or I read that chapter. I know a lot of the youth in the old days that were like the ages of my children, they knew the leelas from dramas and things, but they didn't know the purports. You know, they hadn't really taught that. So they would just say, yeah, I know that. I know that one. I know it. I know it. And think, you know, and we can think like that also. Well, I already read that, you know, what should I read today? Well, I read it. But there's no limit. We should be reading it all the time, like Gadadhar, and praying to Gadadhar that we can have that. enough interest in that, you know. So these slokas are Bhagavatam, but I'm not so familiar with any more leelas of Gadadhar, but this intimate relationship is just, you know, it's very inconceivable. The whole thing, Lord Chaitanya is definitely Achintya Shakti, and all his associates are Achintya Shakti. You know, but devotees somehow by special mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Nityananda, we are able to believe these things, not accept it, and follow, you know, try to serve these great personalities by not only reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but trying to share it with everybody by Prabhupada's example, that he worked very seriously, you know, we know, to translate. And that might have been the easiest part of it, getting them published, getting the devotees to distribute them profusely. It's not an easy thing. If anybody is a Sankirtan leader, they know that. You know, that what percentage of devotees actually directly distribute. But anyone who's studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, they're helping the Bhagavatam to spread. Anyone who's, you know, studying the leelas and promoting by any other way, dance or drama, they're very active than anyone who's just speaking Bhagavatam to even one other person, even to yourself, is doing great service, and we stay connected with Gadadhar. Just wanted to make sure we cover that. So what does it start with, verse 18? I'm just going to, because so many verses, I'll just read the English. Huh? Yeah. That's what, 11 verses? It means there's no purports, but... It's kind of following up on yesterday's class. Sura, Stri, Kesha, Vibrasta. The breezes blowing on the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers from the hair of the women of the demigods. Demigod women are much different. They don't need perfume. They have a smell that covers like 50 miles or something. Prabhupada said, you know, people admire the beautiful women of this world, obviously, that all the advertising, everything. And now the models even say, that's not me, because they, what do they call it, to adjust all the pictures? Photoshop or something. They Photoshop so much that it doesn't even look like the model. You know, they fix everything to be so-called whatever is supposed to be perfect. And then all the young girls think, I have to look like that. And they panic, and they spend so much money on cosmetics and perfume and clothes, right? But you need a good Photoshop man to take your picture and put it up. So Prabhupada said, if you see a woman, a demigod woman, if a man here sees that, they would faint. And if they see the, you know, the Goloka woman, they just die practically. Too shocking, you know. Said the women of earth look like frogs compared to the demigod women. So welcome, ladies. They don't look like frogs compared to us, but Apsaras passed on the streets, which were covered with white, fragrant smoke of a guru incense emanating from the windows with golden filigree. Sounds like a nice place, huh? A guru is like the most expensive incense. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold. The city always resounded with the vibrations of peacocks, pigeons, and bees. And above the city flew airplanes full of beautiful women who constantly chanted auspicious songs that were very pleasing to hear. Just what every man wants, right? That's what's promised. You know, like in the Mahabharata, if you do this yagya or this or that, you can be in the demigod place, and then you have your airplane that goes wherever you want, and lots of women, beautiful women, chanting your glories, and you have beautiful clothes, and you know, sounds pretty boring, actually, you know. But most of the people in the material world, that's what they want. And so they do jagya, or they do whatever they have to do to hopefully get that. Now they think they can get it just with money and just buy it in the department store, you know. But it was shaded by canopies. Oh yeah, next one. The city was filled with the sounds of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, in well-tuned stringed instruments, all playing in concert. There was constant dancing, and Gandharvas sang. The combined beauty of Indrapuri defeated beauty personified. No one who was sinful, envious, violent toward others, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. Better to try for Goloka, right? You can get there by the mercy of Krishna. You know, if we're just trying to serve and trying to be pure and we're getting the mercy of Panchatattva, the Panchatattva, they distributed Krishna consciousness, love of God everywhere without any discrimination. Who was so-called good, who was so-called bad, who was rich, who was poor, everything, everyone was treated equally. They're all souls. And Srila Prabhupada was like that. He saw the soul in everyone. He never criticized anybody's previous life, right? He never cared about it. He just cut right through all that and saw the soul, preached to the soul, and found a way to engage everybody. So we're trying to be like that also. At least we can theoretically understand that, you know, in every body there's a soul accompanied by the super soul. It's not, nobody is that body. They're an eternal, blissful souls. So they're servants of Krishna. So somehow we got great fortune that Lord Chaitanya is the savior of the most fallen, and all his companions also. He didn't discriminate. This one's qualified. You have this one paid more, so they get a better darshan or any of that, right? This one gave a bigger donation, so they can get initiated first or something. Like, many bogus gurus are like that. But Prabhupada was equal to everyone. So we welcome everyone. And just like Jagai and Madai, after they reformed, and Prabhupada said they were worse than Hiranyakasipu. So sinful. But he said no one should ever even talk or mention their previous life now. Now they're devotees, and I've transferred all their sinful... Where did he transfer all their sinful reactions to? Who knows? Huh? First he took it himself, and then they had kirtan. He turned black, you know, from the sinful, and then they had the big kirtan to clear it up. And it was a madhouse kirtan, everybody smashing into each other, and even Jagai and Madai were bumping into Lord Chaitanya and falling on the ground. And then he said, okay, now he got back to his golden color, and he said, I've transferred all the sinful reactions to a certain class of people. And who knows? We should think about this seriously. Huh? To who? Really? Anyone who criticizes devotees. So if you wonder, you know, if you criticize devotee, sometimes we have the tendency, you know, we're suffering because we got the sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai, but we're blaming the person we criticize. He's making so much trouble for me. But you're making trouble for yourself. So be very careful. It's much better to praise devotees and glorify devotees and speak good. So don't, sinful, envious, violent toward others, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy could not enter this city. So what to speak of Goloka, but there we can go by mercy, by the causeless mercy of the spiritual master and the Panchatattva. So we're very lucky here. Panchatattva has appeared in a very easily perceivable form, and also Lord Nrisingadeva. Bali Maharaj, who was the commander of numberless soldiers, gathered his soldiers outside the abode of Indra and attacked it from all directions. He sounded the conch shell given to him by his guru, Sukracharya, creating a fearful situation for the women protected by Indra. Seeing Bali Maharaj's indefatigable endeavor and understanding his motive, King Indra, along with the other demigods, approached their spiritual master, Brihaspati, and spoke as follows. My lord, our old enemy Bali Maharaj now has new enthusiasm, and he has obtained astonishing power that we think that perhaps we cannot resist his power. That was mentioned yesterday, that he had the power because he was totally submissive to the guru and the brahmanas, so he got blessings. Later, that's another story. No one anywhere can counteract the military arrangement of Bali's. It seems now appears that he's trying to drink up the entire universe with his mouth, lick up the 10 directions with his tongue, and raise fire in every direction with his eyes. He has arisen like the annihilating fire known as Samvartaka. Kindly inform me, what is the cause for Bali Maharaj's strength, endeavor, influence, and victory? How has he become enthusiastic? Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, O Indra, I know the cause of your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power. Purport. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, informed Indra, ordinarily Bali and his forces could not achieve such strength, but it appears that the Brahman descendants of Bhrigu Maharaj, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, endowed them with spiritual power. In other words, Brihaspati informed Indra that Bali Maharaj's power was not his own, but the power of his exalted guru, Sukracharya. We sing in our daily prayers, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadan Nagati Katopi. By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary advancement, power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Narottam Das says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Kariya Aikya, Arana Kariya Mare asa. Especially for the spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master by the parampara system. One can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. Bhagavad Gita 4:2. So that's very powerful, somewhat of the essence of our movement. So we all have a basic order from the spiritual master to chant 16 rounds every day attentively without offense. So that's the hard part. Just chanting is a little hard in the beginning, but gradually we may do it. But to be completely attentive, chanting with love and devotion and genuinely praying for service, whatever service the Guru asks us, to happily accept it. Like Srila Prabhupada took his Guru's instruction and he cried for Krishna. He cried and cried and chanted for hours at a time, you know, that he would be able to do this task of spreading Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking people. English is the language of the mlechas. You know, it's mentioned in the scriptures that Sukhidev predicted in one time that, you know, in the future the Indian people would be killing cows and speaking the language of the mlechas, and nobody could believe it. You know, because at that time nobody had ever thought of, you know, eating meat, any kind of meat. So, but it happened. Now all the Indians are speaking English and more eating meat. But somehow other people are changing. So anyway, you find, and sometimes devotees get special instruction from the Guru, either directly or maybe some other way. And if you take it up seriously, it's not impossible. Like in the early days when I first joined, I was a latecomer, but 1971, but Prabhupada landed in America that practically the same time that I started going to the university. But the only reason I went was because otherwise I'd have to go to Vietnam. I had no interest in the university whatsoever. And I was always thinking I should go to New York, you know, maybe there's something there, but I never did it. I was held back. But he came with nothing, no friends, no relatives, no money, to America, and he did it. An amazing thing, because he said, people say I've done wonderful things, but all I did was strictly follow the order of my spiritual master. So we got to follow the order of the spiritual master. We always heard about one devotee wrote Prabhupada and said, I want to be your disciple, but I have to have sex, and it's impossible not to have sex. Prabhupada said, you can have sex, but you can't say you're my disciple. We heard that all the time, you know. Now people say many different things, but because it was such a shock, you know, the idea that no one talked, you know, the four regulated principles. When we told people that, you know, they just die. How can you live? How can you live without meat? It's impossible, you know. How can you live? Now, by the example of all the devotees, people are understanding that, you know. Because the pleasure is a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartante. If we're really chanting seriously, you know, and praying that we can be part of the mission to distribute the holy name, then we get so much pleasure from that you know, just like the karmas, when we try to stop them, I don't have time, no time, no time, no time, I'm in a hurry, I don't have time. I have the Bhagavad Gita, did you read it? No time, no time, you know. I was distributing on the train from Vrindavan to Mathura one year, and everybody had like three newspapers. At least one, but sometimes three. And they said, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have money. I told them, you're paying, you know, 90 rupees a month to get one newspaper, but this book is 120 rupees or something, and you can read it your whole life. And some of them would get embarrassed, and then they would say, okay, okay. Because they realize they're just stupid, you know. Newspaper, the so-called news, it's the same every day. Benjamin Franklin was the original newspaper of America, and he said the only difference is you change the dates and the names. Otherwise, same thing. Sports scores, you know, different. This one won, that one lost. There's a war here, there's a war there. You know, your friend is now the enemy, and it's just the same old thing over and over again. So even big, you know, people that are advising businessmen, you know, how to succeed in their business, don't read the news. Don't watch the news. Don't check the news. Just concentrate on your work, you know. Same thing for us. You know, why should we care about these things? Even what's in the news now, nobody knows what's right or what's wrong, you know, what's real news or false news, or it's just somebody's opinion for some political reason or some economic reason that they give you different news. I used to look at it, and you know, the Time magazine and Newsweek magazine would cover the same thing and completely different vision of it. So who knows what's what, you know. They just try to create fear and anxiety. Read the Bhagavatam. You want to know about Kali Yuga and bad government, read the 12th canto, one chapter. It covers everything so thoroughly. You know, follow the example of Gadadhar Pandit. You know, just read the Bhagavatam all the time and serve your deity, serve your guru, whatever he tells you to do. So in a few minutes, if anybody wants to add or subtract something. Do we have a microphone, or is anybody still awake? Somehow Nidra Devi comes when the Bhagavatam class starts. I just heard Vijay Prabhu yesterday. He said, you know, you'll go to bed and it's night, you're tired, everything is peaceful and quiet and you can't sleep. And then you come to Bhagavatam class, Om Namo. Right? It does happen. So get enough sleep anyway, you know. All right?
Can I ask a question? Can I ask the question?
Yeah.
A question.
Yeah.
So, I was just remembering in the Shikshashtakam, somewhere it says that we want to serve even birth after birth. Even if it's birth after birth here. But then, so is that our motto, or do we want to go back to Godhead as soon as possible and leave everything? Could you give me some clarity of...
Yeah, both. Devotee once said to Prabhupada, I just want to take birth again and distribute your books, and Prabhupada said, better you go back to Godhead, because the Kali Yuga is so bad, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. But the idea is you want to serve all the time, even if you have to take another birth. If somehow you have some offense or some reason that you can't just go back, like Bhaktivinoda said, let me be, even if I become an insect, let it be in the house of a devotee so I can hear the chanting, you know. So the idea is you don't care whatever Krishna wants you to do. That's a very, very high level. But we can't imitate that or fake it, you know. But how do you get, what is Goloka, what is back to Godhead, is constant service. It's a, you know, when your consciousness gets to the point that you're only want to serve all the time, then you're back to Godhead. So that's what we want. So we're chanting, give me service, please give me service. Sometimes I ask devotees, what do you want? Prema, I want prema, I want prema. You know, how do you get prema? You can't buy it. You know, you can't just order it from the market. You have to take to the process. And the preliminary thing to prema is abject humility. And that means like complete humility. And that means service. So you just want to serve. You don't want anything else. You don't expect anything in return. You know, you don't care what the service is, whatever master wants, you do it. Then you can get prema. And then you're already liberated. Prabhupada was always in Vrindavan. He wasn't, you know. He would said that many times. You think I'm in New York, but I'm in Vrindavan. All the time. So you might think you're in Mayapur or in Vrindavan, but you're really in New York. You know? So we have to come out of it a little bit, you know. And just the Maha Mantra, Prabhupada's translation, which is the essence of the whole thing, please engage me in your service. I'm begging for service. It's risky sometimes, but, you know, like I was, one year I was here and I was, had some service that I wasn't, I had to mostly listen to other people discussing things, and I felt like, you know, I have not, I'm really out of it here. So I was, in my japa, I started to actually pray, I got to have some service, you know. I don't normally get that intense, but so I went to the next meeting we had to plan out what needed to be done, and they said, someone has to go to China. You go. Immediately. So I missed the whole festival, I missed, you know, everything. And I went to China where it was minus 30 degrees, immediately to northern China, 20-hour train ride. But it was a different kind of ecstasy because, you know, I had a lot to do there for preaching. So it wasn't what I expected, but, you know, Krishna has his ways. So if we're fully absorbed in service and we just want more service, then, you know, we'll be already liberated. Jivan Mukta. That makes sense? To quote Vajra Purnamara. Does it make sense? You believe it? We don't want to enjoy. We do, but it's not like, oh, I want to have fun in a kirtan. I want everyone to tell me that I'm singing so nicely. I want everyone to tell me I had a nice class. You know, that's not the highest level, you know. We won't get to ecstasy from that consciousness. From the service attitude, we get the blessings. And Lord Chaitanya is freely giving Krishna prema. But you have to pay the price, which means chanting all the time. But he's freely giving it because he'll give it to anybody who takes up the process. No discrimination. Doesn't matter, man or woman, or young or old, or whatever, rich or poor, stupid or smart, it doesn't matter. Talented or untalented, as long as you're offering whatever you have to Krishna. Because that would mean, I know everything belongs to Krishna, so, and Krishna doesn't need anything, so he just, when we have that mentality, he'll give us back much more than we give him. As long as we're thinking, I need to keep, I need to hide this, I need to hold on to that, then we don't get the full ecstasy. But at least if we know, I should be giving up all these desires, and please help me, then we get it. So take shelter of Garadhar, read the Bhagavatam. We want to get a taste for reading the Bhagavatam. We get that just by reading it, actually, and hearing. Now, and due to the mercy of the Kali Yuga, we can tune in to, we can carry the book in our pocket, you know, very easily, right? And can read any time. We can tune in to Bhagavatam discussions from all over the world anytime we want. Isn't it? You know, very simple and very not expensive. We don't have to go anywhere. So we have all this special mercy, so we need to take advantage of it and not get distracted by all the other things that are being offered by the Kali Yuga that seem to be interesting, you know. If you know Krishna, you know everything. Okay, so Gadadhar Pandit ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Mayapur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanadi Hari Hari. Okay, thank you for attending the class. Those on the radio, those on the internet, thank you also. Probably much more than are sitting here. Not as many as out there getting the khichdi every morning.